Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Getting Older and Younger as a Christian.
Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our King, and from God, our Creator and Father and Savior. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the golden age, and this week I'd like to look with you at the golden years, at getting older as a Christian. And since a lot of you are a little bit older than I am, I thought I'd start out with a question. Do we actually grow old gracefully? Is that the way it works? You know, a lot of times I've heard growing old, and I'm starting to experience that myself, can be hard. Our bodies are like a car, and as it gets on in miles, parts start to not work so well anymore, and we wish sometimes we could just turn it in for a new model and get a new one, but you just can't do that with the body. And so today, I'd like to look with you at aging as a Christian, and what's God tell us about that in the Bible? Is aging good or bad? How is a Christian's aging different from that of an unbeliever? And is there any good news for us today as Christians with respect to aging from God? So let's see what God teaches us about getting older by means of his word. What does he have to teach us? Well, first of all, let's just grasp, where does aging come from? What's its origin? How did aging come to be, which we all experience? Well, you know, it goes way back to the very beginning. So let's start there at the very beginning of Scripture in the Garden of Eden, which is where aging began. And we read here in chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the garden, there were two very special trees. There was the tree of life, and the other one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you could say was the tree of death, because God says this. He commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall die. So there was a tree for life, and there was a tree for death, if Adam ate of it and disobeyed. And in fact, you all know the story. He and Eve ate of the tree, and what happened on account of it was a curse. The Bible says it was a curse. Let's look at that. First of all, to the serpent, God said, because you've done this, cursed are you above all cattle, etc. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. So that was part of the curse. That was the curse. And then to Adam, he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife, don't read too much into that, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so the curse there ultimately then was death. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now, did Adam and Eve die as soon as they ate of the fruit on that day? Well, spiritually, yes, they did. They were dead in their relationship with God. And that's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 can say this. He says, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that's not working, the sons of disobedience. So did they die spiritually that day? Yes, they did. They were dead in their trespasses spiritually. How about their bodies? Their bodies, death was already at work within them, and the aging process began. And in the course of time, their bodies actually did die, right? And they returned to dust. And this was all on account of a tree and its curse. That's the origin. And what about the tree of life? God says in Genesis 3:24 that he drove out the man. At the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So that's the origin of aging, which we all experience. You're experiencing it. The origin of death and of aging is the tree and the curse from the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, people get old. But now I want to ask you, is getting old good or bad? Is it, what is it? Good answer. Because the amazing thing is, this is really amazing, that our God is so full of grace and goodness that even when Adam and Eve sinned, and he drove them out of the garden on account of it, and even when we've sinned and have deserved nothing good from him at all, God is so amazing and good to us that he still loved them, and he still loved us, and he still cares for us, blesses us with his help, and even blesses aging, blesses us in it. Let's talk about his favor first with respect to the aging process, the good. What does God tell us in his word? Well, listen up here. Proverbs 16, verse 31, God says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It's gained in a righteous life." Do I see some crowns of glory out there today? Glorious crowns, God says. That's a beautiful word. That's a blessing. How about this one? We turn over here to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. God says, "You shall rise up before the white head and honor the face of an old man. You shall fear the Lord your God. I am the Lord." So God bestows honor upon the elderly. Isn't that beautiful? What a good God he is to do this. We turn back over here to Proverbs 17, verse 6. "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged and the glory of sons as their fathers." So here's another blessing God gives us to us as we age. Children and grandchildren, they are your crown. Isn't that beautiful? Proverbs 1:38 says, "Yes, your children will be like olive shoots around your table." And then also in Psalm 91, God says, "Because he," or she, "cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I'll protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to him, to me, I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll rescue him and honor him." Verse 16 says, "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." So long life is a blessing from the Lord to come to fullness of days, as the scripture says, that you are ripe with old age, like fruit on a vine. That's a beautiful thing. So God blesses aging. And Proverbs 20 says, and I don't know, this one says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair." Is that a blessing? Now, it is a blessing. It's intended to be. But I think sometimes when we get the gray hair, we're like, guess what? I'll give you some of my gray hair. You give me some of your strength, right? But it's a blessing. So there's a lot that God blesses us with respect to aging. But there's also trouble that's associated with getting older too, isn't it? I mean, like a car that breaks down and has pieces that don't work anymore and it's hard to drive. Getting older can be difficult because our bodies are still under the curse of death. And our bodies also will ultimately die. Now let's talk, I know it's the butt of a lot of jokes, getting older. So let me just throw a little, maybe a little lightness into it, although it's serious. You know you're getting older when, ready? You know you're getting older when you dream about prunes. You know you're getting older when you begin to look both ways before crossing a room. You know you're getting older when your idea of pulling an all-nighter is not getting up to go to the bathroom. You know you're getting older when your wife says, "Let's go upstairs and make love," and you say, "Honey, I can't do both. You've got to choose." You know you're getting older when your laugh turns into a cough. You know that kind of thing where it's like, "Well, that was a good joke." That kind of thing. As Bob Hope said, "My ankles creak, my knees crack, my ears ring, my stomach gurgles. I'm not getting older, I'm getting noisier." And one nursing home resident said, "Once My arms are too weak to pick up a cup of coffee. My cataracts are so bad I can't even see my toothbrush. My arthritis is so bad I can't turn my neck. My blood pressure medication makes me dizzy. At least I can still drive. Right? And you know, one of the great things I found, even though I'm more of a tender age, I'm only 46, but you know, as I'm losing my hair back here, I'm like, ay, ay, bunga. Beth says, you're not losing it, it's just relocating. It's coming out your nose and your ears. And one of the beautiful things I've found is as I'm getting older and I cut my own hair, I have a hair cutting device, put it on number 6 and I'm done, basically. But they're like, people are like, how do you cut your bangs though, so evenly? I said, that's really great. An advantage as I'm getting older, I just wet them, comb them straight down, and I cut along the second wrinkle across my forehead. It's like the dotted line, you know? So there are some advantages, but you know, in serious though, this is a very difficult thing, getting older. And it's really hard, especially when you lose loved ones or your spouse and your body aches and it hurts. And so Peter says, quoting the Old Testament, all flesh is like grass and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. So think of it. All of our flesh is like this. It has its day in the sun full of beauty. But I plucked this one just 2 days ago, and now look, it's withering, this one over here. And so it is with all of our bodies, which are still under the curse of death. Though they are temples of the Holy Spirit, yet they have their day in glory, but they soon wither and fade away, just as the scripture says. Happily, the word of the Lord abides forever and never fades in its glory. So we're in a dire situation. The curse from Adam is very serious. Man's been driven out of paradise, and there's no way back to life for himself by our own strength, because there is that angel, that guardian cherub, that's there with that flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life so that we could not return. So, next question, though, is what's God done for us about aging? Is there any good news? Answer is, my friends, the best news in the world in Jesus Christ. If our bodies are like an old car and they're dented and parts are not working and they've been in a wreck, so to speak, Jesus came and you saw even in his lifetime by his power, he began to restore bodies. Think about this. You get Mark chapter 3. Jesus entered the synagogue and there was a man there who had a withered hand. Didn't work anymore. They watched him to see whether he'd heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with a withered hand, come here, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out his hand and it was restored. It was brand new, like he brought it into the shop and Jesus makes it perfectly drivable again. John 9, Jesus saw a guy that was blind from birth. And he says to the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and washed and came back seeing. So eyes that did not work, Jesus makes like brand new in his lifetime by his power. So also a man that was deaf and had an impediment in speech, he couldn't talk. Jesus touched, put his finger in his ear, spat, and touched the man's tongue and looked up to heaven and said, Ephatha, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. So he's restoring ears and he's restoring tongues. So you see, Jesus, when he came, is already reversing the curse that goes with the body, namely breaking down, aging, and such things. But I'll tell you something, that's not even the beginning of it, or it's just the beginning. According to God's definite plan and foreknowledge, God came to do so much more for us than that. Because remember, how did we get this curse of aging in the beginning? By a tree and a curse. And I'll tell you something, Jesus came to do something for us by a tree and becoming a curse for us on that tree to break that old curse of sin and death off of us. Where do we read that? Well, let's turn over here to Galatians chapter 3. And if we look at verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse. Notice that word, the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it's written, and he quotes Old Testament, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So how do we get the curse of aging and death again? Through a tree. What does Jesus do? He goes on to a tree, becomes a curse for us, takes the curse of the law, which is what? You sin against the law and you die. Same thing as the Garden of Eden. You sin and the result is you get death. Jesus says, I'm going to come and reverse this for you. I'm going to go on to another tree called the cross. That curse will be placed upon me. I will become the curse for you. I will take your sin. I'll die to pay the penalty for your sin, which is death, which the law demands. And thereby, I'll set you free. I'll set you free from the curse of death and even ultimately also from aging. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus not only does this, by the way, not just for us, but for the whole creation. We read that over here. See if I can turn to Colossians chapter 1. Listen to how wide scope is his salvation. Verse 19, it says, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, that's Jesus, to reconcile to himself, to God, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So what did Jesus reconcile to God? Just man? What does it say there? All things, whether on earth or in heaven, he made peace by the blood of his cross. The whole creation, Jesus is setting free. And in fact, you can turn over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Says the creation, says Paul, was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't that amazing? He came to reverse the curse by a tree through which the curse came. He went to another tree, the cross, to set free us, first off, but also the whole creation, to reconcile to God, to set it free from decay. Amen? Amen. This is fantastic. This is great. Peter says, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day, and to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Think about that. On a tree, what does Jesus give you? Forgiveness of your sins. Then again, in Galatians, it said, you get the promise of Abraham. You get the Holy Spirit. Then again, you read over here in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So what else does Jesus give you? Healing. First for your soul, and then also ultimately for your body. For what is promised about your body, which is getting older, it's creaking, it's groaning. What does Jesus promise you about it? John 6, verse 40, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is it. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So what's going to happen? Your body once looked like this. Remember when you were 20? This beautiful flower? Now it's starting to get a little more like this. What's Jesus going to do for you? At the resurrection, he's going to raise you up so that this old body, this withered flower, is not only going to look like you look like when you're 20, but you're going to be raised up so glorified. It actually says in 1 Corinthians 15, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable, like this forever. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in glory, a power. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown a physical body, it's raised a spiritual body. So is this good news for you about aging already? Oh, you're going to look better than you ever did. By a tree came the original curse of aging and death, and by a tree has come now the reverse of aging, all because of Christ. So then let me ask you a question. What is it like then for an experience of getting older? How do we compare that to an unbeliever? Well, let's take an unbeliever first. What is an old unbeliever's experience as they get older? Well, their body's breaking down, but their soul has not been redeemed yet, or they have not come to Christ, and so it's getting older, crotchier, grumbly, hard, crusty. And in fact, I saw this once in Wisconsin. Years ago, I was by this lake, beautiful mountains. There was this glorious sunset. It was gold and crimson and reds. Oh, it was so glorious. And there was an old man in a wheelchair there with his family. And he said, it's times like these when I think, what's it all for? I mean, he looked at all this and he couldn't see his creator. He didn't know God. He didn't know Jesus. To him, night was fast falling on the earth and it was fast to fall upon him. And he had no hope. There was nothing really good for him and for an unbeliever about getting older. That's why God says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, Ecclesiastes 12, before the evil days come, when your years draw nigh, when you begin to say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars were darkened and the strong men are bent, the grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails, because man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets and the dust returns to the earth. Boy, is that depressing, isn't it? But if you're not a Christian, that's your end, actually, for your body. But then it's even worse than that, because the Bible says after death for an unbeliever, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, they shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Wow. That they actually go into a place of deep darkness where Jesus says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is there any good thing about aging for an unbeliever? No, because their body's breaking down and this is but the beginning of their troubles. They become old, crusty, hard, brittle, grumpy, sour, hopeless, and that's just the start of it. Yikes. Well, how about for a Christian though? You who have believed in Jesus Christ and have been set free from your sins, Christ has already brought us forgiveness, blessing, salvation, reconciliation, God's love, the promise of the world to come. Your bodies are still under the curse of death for a time, ours are, but we have the hope of the resurrection. Meanwhile, what's happened to your spirits? You know, this is the beautiful thing. I am so excited to share this with you. When your body's getting older as a Christian, you know what happens to your spirit? When you believe in Christ, you're actually getting younger by the day. This is a beautiful thing. God's actually reversing the aging process in you every day. You're on the way, you're in the other direction. You're going up. You're actually being renewed every day in your inner man after the knowledge of your Creator. You're getting younger, freer, more supple, more youthful, stronger, more joyful if you are diligent to be with Christ as you follow him and not some Christian who's just bumming along through life and getting older and sour and crotchety. But if you're following Christ, younger you get, stronger, more joyful, more youthful. Let me prove that to you. You've put off the old nature, says Paul, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. And listen to this. Let me open the Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me prove this to you. This is so beautiful. If I can get over here and turn, find it. Did I close the page? No, here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, amen, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we're not looking to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For whatever you see is temporary, but what's unseen, that's eternal. Isn't this beautiful? The older you get as a Christian, if you're following Jesus, the aging process in your spirit, you are getting younger. Every day you become more youthful and beautiful and glorious in Jesus Christ. Like my grandma, Kittrell, out there in Kansas. She was in her 80s, and she had got breast cancer. She went to check her doctor, see why she wasn't feeling well. Found out he died like a decade or two before. She never went to her doctor. She found out she had breast cancer. Her body's getting older. It's beginning to return to dust. It's winding down. She's in the hospital. Call her on the phone. How you doing, Grandma? Wonderful. Lovely. The nurses are so great here. And the food is wonderful. In the hospital? Yes. And I have this beautiful room with a picture of the birds outside and a tree. And I have a great Savior, Jesus. You know, the older she got, the younger she got, the more hopeful, the more joyful as she drew near to her Savior's kingdom in the world to come. And beloved, we're God's children now, says John. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What's your body going to look like? You tell me. When we see Jesus appear, our body is going to be like his. What kind of body do you think God the Father gave to Jesus in his resurrected state? Something kind of like half shod? It was kind of a nice model? This thing is a Maserati, Lamborghini, whatever. This is the best of all. Your body, John says, is going to be like his when he comes, when you see him appear. And the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So have you heard? Have you known? The Lord God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to you when you're faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You excited about that? You are the righteous planting of the Lord, like oaks. You grow like a cedar in Lebanon, like a palm tree. God's planted you. They still bring forth fruit in old age. They're ever full of sap and green, to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Am I looking out on a green planting of the Lord, full of the sap of Jesus, the true vine, growing and renewed in him every day? That's what God declares of you in Scripture. And now in conclusion here, what did we leave way back there at the beginning of the Bible? In the Garden of Eden, they drove out the man, barred their way to the what? The tree of life. And you know, for all the rest, look, the pages of history, thousands of years, the tree of life does not appear in Scripture again all the way until the very last chapter of the Bible. And there it appears again. They see it in the city of God by the river of life, and then the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. You're going to be able to take of that tree of life, eat of it, and live forever. And really, the tree is Jesus Christ, and they shall reign forever and ever. So here's my final word. This is God's word to you. Hear it from God to you through me, not just from me. Isaiah 46, God says to you right now, "Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who've been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry, and I will save." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Getting Older and Younger as a Christian, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and for the next 6 weeks of Lent, services also at 12 and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.